This morning's Dharma talk will be given by Boundless Way Zen Dharma teacher, Paul Galvin. Welcome, Paul.
Case 29 in the Gateless Gate. Wei Nong, not the wind, not the flag. The case. Two monks were arguing about the temple flag waving in the wind. One said, "The flag moves." The other said, "The wind moves." They argued back and forth, but could not agree. The sixth ancestor said, "Gentlemen, it is not the wind that moves. It is not the flag that moves. It is your mind that moves." The two monks were struck with awe. The comment. It is not the wind that moves, it is not the flag that moves, it is not the mind that moves. How do you see the ancestral teacher here? If you can view this matter intimately, you will find that the two monks received gold when they were buying iron. The ancestral teacher could not repress his compassion and overspent himself. The verse. Wind, flag, mind, move. All the same fallacy, only knowing how to open their mouths, not knowing they had fallen into chatter. So it's wonderful to be here. Originally when I was asked, to give this talk, this honor to be able to speak here to all of you who have been, many of you here throughout all of Ongo. The topic came up as far as what would be the theme for the Ongo talks. And what I heard said was choosing your favorite. It may not have come out that way, but choosing your favorite koan. So this koan right here, this case 29, this is my favorite because this is the koan I'm currently sitting with. Sometimes loving this koan, sometimes really not liking this koan very much. There is something here in my relationship with koan practice itself. Throughout the years, I have thrown them down, I've picked them up. I've gone away from koans for a year or 18 months here and there. And I come back to them because I trust. I trust when Melissa, my teacher, tells me, "Paul, pick up the koan. Pick up the koan again." A lot of me does not like these koans. Not this one in particular, but all of them. they're humbling in a way. I perceive myself as someone who's been fairly successful with using my mind, relaying that to others and enticing and encouraging the use of minds and others. And yet when it comes to koan practice, the story that I tell about myself is that I'm koan dense. That this is a slow process, and I struggle and do all of those problem-solving things that serve me so well in some aspects. Only help to point out that there are other ways of knowing, Not just this decision-making, the steps, the problem-solving, all of those aspects that serve me so well, that there's other ways of knowing. And during a Samu practice, I had the opportunity to engage in Samu. And this is great. It's what I really appreciate about our practice, that all of this is an opportunity for opening. So this sitting here, is this what it's about? The chanting that we did, is this what it's about? The koan practice, is this what it's about? The sweeping of the stairs, is this what it's about? And showing up for each of those in a way that is fully Paul, is fully you, when we engage in these practices. And during Samu, Chris was very supportive and giving guidance as far as what was needed to be done. And at one point, he asked me, encouraged me to vacuum the downstairs. And then, as an aside, which I often find that the real truth is those little side comments. As an aside, he said, "And if you want to be really thorough, you might want to get the little vacuum and vacuum the stairs." So I'm koan thorough. I'm very thorough. Of course, I use the little vacuum. Of course, I vacuum the stairs. This is me. This is who I am. So sitting here with this koan for upwards of 3 months now, a koan that I gather by the look of very supportive teachers who really should never play poker, that this koan is apparently quite simple, apparently. And here I sit with it. I've given many demonstrations. I have gone ahead and, as far as tugged at it on my own, waited for the truth to come out of a teacher's mouth. And yet I'm thorough. This opportunity to continue to engage. It's all the koan. It's all this sitting here, this chanting, this talk, this sweeping of the stairs. Thank you. Ellen, I cry a lot. This tear.
I think you're alone in that. So, this is time for our Dharma dialogue. Please make yourselves comfortable and we'll have our period for questions and observations.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you do me a favor and read the verse again?
Yeah. I will start it too. So the verse: wind, flag, mind, move, all the same fallacy. Only knowing how to open their mouths, not knowing they have fallen into chatter.
I did this a long time ago, and you've made it completely new. That's exactly that point is. That's what I've been struggling with this entire anga, that falling into chatter, not being present for whatever it is that's moving, and wanting to argue about it and think about it and present stories about it. And you've just done me a real service. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Your Bodhisattva spirit just sang out in that presentation, and I could see you on the stairs with your back. And Chris telling you. It's just so, so expressive of the great spirit and care that you bring to everything you do here at the temple and with everyone, you know. It's just lovely in so many ways. So, yeah, thanks for letting us see that.
Thank you. Your well of emotion when you spoke of trusting the koan and more trusting your teacher. Brought forth my own. That's been a place of growth for me. To yield to that. So thank you for speaking to it.
Such a lovely, touching presentation of Paul, and the struggle, you know, that we go through. I mean, I think, you know, we all can really identify with that. You know, I think for each of us, we have our own unique struggle, but you know, we all have some struggle that we're going through, and for you to be able to really present how that is, and like Chris said, particularly the trust, the faith in our teachers, but not even just the teachers, right? It's even deeper than that. You know, having touched something through our Zen practice. It takes a while, at least it has for me, to realize that there is, you know, something reliable here that I know. Well, know isn't a great word, but something that I can count on, you know, that fulfills me somehow, and just is so important to me. And you really express your love and how important the Dharma is to you. I really appreciate that, because it's true for me too. I don't really understand, you know, what it's all about. But I don't really need to understand either. You know, I know that, you know, coming here to sit is just hugely important to me. You know, and you really express how important it is to you and me too. And I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
No, I want to talk about this, but I don't know how this is going to sound. An interesting thing happened during this Ango. Mm-hmm. Kind of a tragic thing. It didn't really happen during the Ango, but we heard news of one of David's Dharma brothers committed suicide in August, and we just got the news. And you know, we did some chanting for him. And his name was Paul. Mm. So we got a few emails from some people who've been listening to the talks who said, it's not Paul Galvin. And it was one of those, oh my God, even to touch that for a moment. Mm. You know, because I knew Paul Chapman just a little bit. I met him once or twice, and, you know, lovely man and a deep tragedy. But our Sangha connections here are so intensely heart to heart, and I thought of, you know, that it's a wonderful life, that where you get to see what your life would be like if you didn't exist, you know, Jimmy Stewart. Right? And so there, I, for just a moment reading those emails, I thought those people who wrote in had lived the possibility of being without you, and they were devastated. and I got it, you know. And you know, this applies to all of us. We're all going to go through that door one by one, through very many routes. And, you know, like Leonard Cohen's song, Who by Fire, like all the different ways we're going to go. And how precious it is to be here sitting next to you right now. Not dead. Not dead. What a miracle. Mm-hmm. What a miracle. Thank you for not dying.
Yeah. 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 And then when you die, we'll thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul, was this Paul Gavin?
Well, and when you go to that faith and trust, I think that we can never know what we bring to the world. Right? It will always be invisible to us in some fundamental way. That if we try to be ourselves, then we're sort of a pale imitation of who we think we should be. So there is some wild kind of faith that we have to go on. You know, so you come and present not like, well, I'll really help everybody by show, you know, but like, this is what I have. And our hearts are touched by any human being who does that. And yet, so difficult, I think, for most of us to imagine that it's not about when you get better at koans, you know, or when I work through my terrible karma, then, but the possibility of the value in us as we are. I mean, this is totally incomprehensible to me on some deep level. But yet I think we're called to trust that. And to have faith as we sit, that our zazen, our sitting, our miserable, wonderful, the self we have all these opinions about that keep shape shifting. You know, sometimes I'm doing pretty well today. Well, I got some. And then other times I think, oh boy. Right? And that's so, and that's utterly beside the point. Right? Our great cherished opinion is like, it's like the wind comes and goes. And so our faith is.
Yeah.
And this is our gift to each other, to take the wild chance that we might not have to be different. So thank you.
Maybe I'll say, behave differently, but not have to be or feel differently. Does that seem right?
I do think that...
I'm just... No, go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead.
All I want to do is throw a pillow. You talk.
Okay. After you throw the pillow.
I accept your pillow.
Already done. Already accomplished.
To me, that goes to the perfect just as we are and could use a little improvement.
Yeah.
So part of our vow is to behave with compassion and to follow the precepts. And we blow it all the time, moment after moment. So of course, to give our heart to align, to bow down, to say I'm so sorry, and to walk on.
And what elicited the pillow throwing was a slightly different point. Everything David said was absolutely true, and there's this mysterious thing. That even when we're at our worst, like really doing stuff that's really harmful and just totally out of control, that's still the Buddha nature manifesting itself, because it's always manifesting itself. It actually takes every shape, even the true screw-up, like deep screw-up. I don't know if you know as much about that as I do. I suspect you might. And everybody in the room does, right? We, you know, those moments when we think, those moments when we think, I'm a Zen teacher, and I just did that, right? Mm-hmm. I think David feels this way sometimes, right? No, never. We're the two exemplars of the way. and you know, like, I'm a Zen student. I'm a senior. I'm a senior Dharma teacher. I'm a priest. I'm a Dharma teacher. I'm a blank, whatever title we've thrown at you to give it, make your life harder. This is something that's the biggest mystery of all. How could I be the Buddha when I'm so lost and I've done such terrible things? How could that be true too?
In one of the chants, I think it's by Chenul, talks about all of these contractions and all of these mind things and all of our lives, and says all of it takes place in the sublime mind of the Buddha of compassion. So, and I think, Liz, that's so lovely what you're pointing to there, that it's not about some other place or being or acting or and how, what a subtle danger that is. So these, you know, 10,000 mistakes, nothing other than the Buddha's boundless loving kindness.
Well, and just to add, there are near enemies in both views, right? So the near enemy of what David said is that I better try to get better and do all the right stuff, and you know, and the near enemy of what I said is, everything's fine. Right. And that's not, neither of those are where we're going.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can
say something. Well, what was coming up for me was I love this particular line in the Boundless Way Zen as far as leadership documents. So those who wish to take on leadership roles, and you know, it's a prerequisite. So this is a prerequisite if to take on a leadership role, must have fallen on their ass publicly, either figuratively or literally, at some point. And I think that's it. And I think even to stand up here, you know, to sit up here to say this koan in some particular ways, that, you know, this is it. And of course I've fallen on my ass, you know, in this process. What is so lovely is that I'm doing that, and you're picking me up. You know, you're holding me. Each of you. So I think that's it. Can I be so brave as to allow myself to be revealed and to fall on my ass in this particular way?
Brings to mind for me our self-conceptualizations, and that we struggle to lose those, and I don't know the source, but I remember reading that these concepts of ourselves are really like our cage. We spend most of our time inside the cage, running up and down, rattling the bars, and then we sit there and we realize that those bars are too wide to hold me. Conversation reminds me of that.
It's a nice image. I've heard a corollary to that image. Sometimes we sit there and we decorate the walls of the cage. Right? We don't even see those gaps. We just put up pretty pictures and ribbons and stuff.
Um, So when David was talking about the the changes in our experience, that sometimes we feel pretty good about how we're doing, sitting and really having this feeling for the truth of that the heart of the universe is this prajna, to say that the truth of the universe is this infinite compassion. And sometimes that becomes clear to us, and then other times it's just so opaque, and we just feel like we're just doing so badly, I don't get it. And what was touching me, there's something that Dogen says about how, it doesn't necessarily appear as a view. Mm. That viewing is not fixed, and that the truth of the matter is completely independent about how we feel about it. Sometimes we have some clarity and we can see into it, and then at other times, it's not like that at all, and it seems completely opaque, and I wonder, well, what was I even thinking? How did I even think that? And I can't understand it all. I'm just completely fogged in. But there's some faith, that's building in me that this truth is fundamental and universal, and is not dependent on the content of my mind at all. That's kind of a lovely thing.
One of the pieces of faith that I have is in the sitting process itself, just sitting through it all, how powerful it is. And this isn't a practice of figuring it all out and reading and memorizing texts and making sure that we've got all the right things down and all that, but it is this kind of refiner's fire that we sit, and, even if we can't devote ourselves to 3 weeks of sitting like a few of us have, every time we sit down, the fire just burns up bright again, so it doesn't matter how often we get to sit, how often we come. And there's some way, some mysterious way, I've seen this happening. We're already, moving into the ending, in quotes, of the Anga, the coming and going session. It's been powerful for people who aren't sitting every period. There's some way, a number of you have been coming and going, and also it doesn't even seem to matter, but there's some way that the Sangha, that holding that you were pointing to, Paul, is so strong that when we sit, it reverberates outward to all beings. And that's not, a piece of what do you call those things? Something to believe in. I know there's a term for it. It's the truth. It's not, whatever it says in the Heart Sutra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually not a theory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not mm-hmm. a theory. So I can feel it resonating. I can just feel it. How powerful it is. Mm-hmm. The Dhamma in form being practiced.
During periods of not practicing, I have thought, you all practice for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's do it right now for everybody. Just for a few moments. Just the whole thing.